We read these words in the fourth chapter of the book of Acts. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Beloved, this is the word of the Lord. Easter has a way of doing things to people. Following the crucifixion of Jesus, that Friday afternoon of swirling chaos and pervasive fear, the disciples run from the scene. They keep their distance. They scatter like shepherdless sheep, then reconvene as one huddled mass of anxiety behind locked doors. But when Easter arrives, this disappointed and disappointing bunch become something altogether different. They become the church. They become people of the way. They become a community of the Spirit. They become the body of Christ. Easter has a way of doing things to people. This morning's scripture passage from the book of Acts is a picture of what Easter makes possible. Unity of heart and soul, all possessions shared in common, powerful testimony to Christ's resurrection, not a needy person among them. The early church looks like the perfect way to be Christian. And so unlike the experience of being Christian for many of us. So I believe it is quite natural for us to want to go back and relive the good old days of the church. You know, when there were no doctrinal debates, no political posturing, no budget meetings, no heart-wrenching decisions bound to disappoint some, no entrenched divisions. It's particularly tempting when we read this text as Christians confronting the incredibly complex task of living faithfully in our own time. You know the time, a time when many congregations waste precious energy and time drawing lines of exclusion, when too many identify the Christian faith with fleeting definitions of happiness, prosperity, or power, when the unity of the church is under constant threat from partisan wrangling, political extremism, ideological idolatry, and utter irrelevance. You know the times in which we have been given to be Christian. A time when I keep a file on my desktop labeled Announcements After Tragedy. You may have seen the headlines in recent weeks. News organizations love to do this just before Easter. They release the latest statistics on church membership and attendance. This year it was Gallup's latest report on religiosity in the United States. The analysis from Religion News Service summarizes it this way: ask Americans if they believe in God, and most will say yes, but a growing number have lost faith in organized religion. For the first time since the late 1930s, fewer than half say they belong to a house of worship. And so we idealize the early church, or perhaps the church of our childhood, or the church we read about in history books. You know, the church of another era, back when the church mattered, back when the church was faithful, back when the church was a force to be reckoned with, and we disparage today's expression of it. Perhaps some of us consider retreat from the harshness of the world and the harmful perceptions of church, preferring to huddle in like-minded isolation, protective piety, or smug sectarian superiority. Here's the problem. These practices of pessimism, this inclination to isolate, belie the witness of the church in Acts. Despite the halo we insist on attaching to the early church, it too struggled with human need. It too contended with cultural realities. It too found itself in the middle of political debate. And so if an increasing number of folks have lost their faith in organized religion, I say good. For the human institutions is never the locus of our faith. We believe in God. We believe in the God known in Jesus Christ. We believe in the power of the Spirit still at work. This morning's passage comes just two chapters after Pentecost, and yet a lot has happened to the church in this short span of time. It does not have any stars in its eyes anymore. It has already encountered poverty in the face of a man asking for help on the steps of the church. It has already encountered theological controversy. It has already been hassled by culture. In fact, two of its ministers, Peter and John, have already done jail time. They've had a healthy dose of reality, those early Christians, and there is no shallow romanticism about the church left. What we have instead is the picture of a church utterly determined to live the way of the risen Christ in this world, in the world. Our ancestors in the faith remembered that Jesus didn't rise from the dead to escape the grasp of this broken creation. His resurrection opens the way to redemption for all of us, for all of creation. The theater of resurrection is this world. Tell the disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee, right back to where you live, work. We are called to embody the newness that God intends for all. This is how we live the faith and how we share it with others. Just before Easter, a friend sent me a wonderful interview with my old professor, still at it, Stanley Hauerwas, a provocative, brilliant theologian and Christian ethicist. The entire interview is worth your time, but I want to quote his final answer to you today. The question he was asked had to do with hand-wringing over the loss of Christian identity in recent decades, polls like the one Gallup just published. Here's his response. I think that one of the good things that is happening today is precisely the loss as Christians of our status and power in the wider society. That loss makes us free. We, as Christ's disciples, ain't got nothing to lose anymore. And that's a great advantage because as people with nothing to lose, we might as well go ahead and live the way Jesus wants us to live. We don't have to be in control or tempted to use the means of control. We can once again, like the first Christians, be known as that people who don't lie to the world. He closes, despair is a sin, and I'm hopeful, because being a people of peace is ultimately about God's victory, not ours. So I ask you, what if the Church of Jesus Christ in 2021, what if the Church of Jesus Christ on North Meridian Street lived like a people who ain't got nothing to lose? Put another way, what if we lived as God's liberated people who were set free from every allegiance and distraction that tug us away from faithful living? What if we lived in the world as God's people because God has given us that gift of belonging? I think we could be the church on fire again. The church renewed, restored, and resurrected by the power of God. You see, I'm convinced that only an experience of the resurrection could transform a circle of shuddering disciples into a community of believers ready to risk for the truth of those convictions. My, oh my, without Easter, they're hopeless, that bunch. Because of Easter, they're fearless. All that changed was everything. Their very understanding of reality shifted. Because if death is defeated, disciples ain't got nothing to lose. So why not live the way of Jesus? Why not join the movement of the Spirit? Why not give what you have to those God says belong to you? Why not change the world through the power of the gospel? Why not? And so it is for us. You see, without Easter, we're hopeless. Without Easter, I could not stand in this pulpit after yet another senseless killing and speak about the grace of God and the capacity for change. Without Easter, we could simply myopically focus on our own security and turn aside from the suffering of neighbors who don't look like us. Without Easter, we might believe that what is will always be, that weapons can never be beaten into tools for cultivation, that human prejudice is an indelible mark upon us, that those with the most toys win. Without Easter, the message of Jesus Christ is halted at Golgotha, stamped out by sin, denied by death. It's all over, hopeless. But we are an Easter people. And so today I can stand in this sacred space and proclaim the God of grace. We can live as those free to follow Jesus in every part of our lives. We can reimagine reality in ways that call us to the common good, to mutual care, to extensive compassion. Remember, Easter has a way of doing things to people. That's what Luke records in his description of the early church. Not a picture of perfection, but a depiction of determination. This is what I want to tell you is possible in our church and our communities and our nation and our world. If we are to live out the Easter vision of the world, if we are to practice resurrection, we must break down boundaries, cross borders, leave behind our insecurities and fears, and engage this world, the theater of resurrection, this world in transforming ways. For the message of Easter is this: the risen Christ is on the loose. No longer bound to the first century or a hill called Calvary, but free. Free to reign among us in humble power and love. because of this, and for no other reason, we can receive a fresh infusion of hope this day. For in all our humanity and brokenness, we are the community of God's people shaped by Easter. Resurrection happens among us. If by God's grace you can believe this gospel truth, then your life and the life of this community must give witness to it, to the new life, the new world that God is making possible. Easter has a way of doing things to people. We beg you, O God, may it be so with us. Amen.